time for Wisconsin Life. A discovery on Lake Superior Beach has brought a popular old children's book to life. As Glenn Moberg reports, the search is on for the person who built a small wooden boat similar to the one in the book Paddle to the Sea.
The boy came running over the slippery ground. He was just in time to see the canoe slide down into the rushing water.
Jeffrey Hinneber always liked Paddle to the Sea, about an Indian boy who releases a miniature hand-carved canoe on Lake Nipigon with dreams that it would travel across Lake Superior to the Atlantic Ocean.
Ho, he called. You've started on your journey. Goodbye, Paddle to the Sea. It's a wonderful book, wonderful maps of the Great Lakes and mapping of the route where the wind and waves may have pushed this little boat.
Hinneber says he can't get enough of the wind and the waves and the beaches of the big lake. It was last July that he made his discovery.
We were on York Island. It's a big crescent beach on the north side of that island. And a good 10 yards up the beach where storms had thrown a bunch of driftwood, I saw something that had more of a symmetric shape.
It was a 10-inch long, hand-carved wooden boat with a weathered inscription on the bottom.
I could clearly make out that it said Lenny, and then there was a last name that was obscured. It had a P.O. box, but the numbers were not legible. And then finally, it said Cornucopia, Wisconsin.
In the book, a sea captain finds the little canoe, fixes it up, and sends it on its way.
So that is how Paddle got a new copper rudder that would not rust, new paint, with the canoe bright red.
Jeffrey Hinneber, who builds kayaks, did the same with his little boat.
I did paint a little red stripe around the entire boat to give it a little more pizzazz, and engraved a brass plaque that included the information about my finding it where and the release date.
Hinneber's discovery caught the eye of Ruth Opedal, executive director of the Natural Resources Foundation of Wisconsin.
Kind of reminded me of Paddle to the Sea, and I just thought, wow, this is a great watershed story.
Opedal says with a watershed like Lake Superior, it really could happen.
It's possible. That's why it's called a watershed. It's possible a drop of water that falls in Lake Nipigon can make its way out to the Atlantic Ocean.
The question Ruth Opedal wants answered, who is Lenny?
Well, you know, when I saw a picture of that boat and I saw Lenny, I thought, you know, that's a traditional name. That sounds like something that was carved maybe 40, 50 years ago.
Opedal thought it might be Leonard Isaacson, who owns a 90-year-old lumber company in the South Shore community of Herbster. But Isaacson says he didn't carve it.
Well, I have carved little boats, but nothing like that. You know, what Leonards or Lennies would be here in the last 50 years or more, and I don't know any.
So for Jeffrey Hinneber, it's just another Lake Superior mystery.
The lake is phenomenal in its pristine beauty on the eastern shore. There's pictographs, sacred places, and islands that were revered by First Nation peoples.
First Nation people who traveled the Great Lake in carved wooden boats.
Yes, little traveler, you made the journey, the long journey. You now know the things I have yet to know. You are truly a paddle person, a paddle to the sea.
Now, the boat that Jeffrey Hinneber found is back in Lake Superior on its own long journey. And there is much about this story that we have yet to know.
Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. For more information, visit wisconsinlife.org. And now for all canoe lovers, it's a classic love story. Girl meets boy, they fall in love, get married. And for their honeymoon, they build their own canoe and paddle 1,700 miles from Lake Superior to the far reaches of northeastern Saskatchewan. Our next guest did just that. Joining us now to talk about her adventure is Julie Buckle. She's the author of Paddling to Winter, a couple's wilderness journey from Lake Superior to the Canadian North. Julie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Veronica. It was really fun to hear that paddling story. Previous to this, Ruth Opedal is a good friend and from this region originally, so I haven't heard her voice in a while, so that was great.
Right. Well, obviously some echoes with your own story here, a canoe going on an ambitious journey. How did you ever get this idea to go 1,700 miles from Bayfield, Wisconsin to northern Canada?
Well, the idea really started with my husband. And when I met him, we were living in Washington, D.C., And on one of our, after one of our first dates, I was at his house, and there was a map on the wall, and it had all of North America, and there was this yellow, you know, highlighter line that went from Lake Superior all the way up into northern Canada. And at that point, I was a farm girl from Wisconsin. I had never paddled a canoe, actually. And I asked him what that line was about, and he said, "That's my dream trip. I want to paddle from Lake Superior all the way up to northern Saskatchewan." At that point, I just thought, well, you might as well just go to the moon. That's just impossible. You can't possibly do that. And, of course, we continued dating, and he introduced me to paddling, and it was something I took well to. It's a lot like farming. You got to just keep at it and keep plugging along. And so when we were talking about getting married, I threw that out. I said, well, how about if we do that dream trip of yours for our honeymoon? And so that's what we did.
What did he say?
You know what's really funny is he spent 6 months really trying to vet me. And he, because he had done longer expeditions, and he wanted to make sure I fully understood what it meant to commit to a trip of that length. But he didn't understand that he was talking to a farm girl, and we don't quit.
So what made you guys decide to build your own canoe? Nowadays, you can buy a canoe that's going to be pretty good. Why did you decide to do that part of it, building your own?
But it's such an incredible experience to, for one, make something that's aesthetic and beautiful. And if you're going to be paddling in it for 4 months at a time, I personally just wanted something I really wanted to look at and to feel the cedar beneath my feet if I was barefoot, rather than, we were never thinking about an aluminum canoe, but we had a plastic one that we paddled. And then Kevlar, of course, is the canoe of choice among many because it's lighter and it is durable. But the thing that really kind of sold us ultimately on the wooden and canvas, one is that we were really looking at historic trails. This was a route that the voyageurs traveled for hundreds of years. And so it was kind of a nod to the voyageurs and this historic route that we were going to be traveling. But also, we had talked to people who paddled wooden canvas canoes and are big wooden and canvas canoe fans and had actual stories of being able to fix the canoes on the trail. If you wrap a Kevlar boat around a rock, there's just, your trip is over. If you wrap a wooden canvas canoe around a rock, you have a shot at being able to fix it, particularly if you've made it. So we understood the construction of the boat. We understood the boat so well, and it really was an extension of us on the trip. It was our home.
Well, we've got to hear something about that actual trip. What was it like to be on this epic canoe journey that far north?
It was extraordinary. And I have to say, you know, people wonder, like, would I do it again? And this time of year, I get hankering to do it again. The physicalness of being out day after day and living on the land and going with the light and going with the seasons, there's really no other way to get at it. And, of course, for many, or for me anyway, the more challenging part was that winter portion when we were done traveling and we were sitting on a remote island in a little teeny cabin in winter in northern Saskatchewan, and because we had to learn how to sit still. So the moving aspects was really particularly fantastic.
How long did it take you all in all?
Well, we spent 4 months paddling the Voyageur route, and we landed in Wollaston Lake, and then through some serendipity, landed in a cabin on an island. The people who were living there, we had stopped to visit them because people had told us we had to stop and visit Felix and Linda Fisher on Estevan Island, and we stopped to say hello and go on our way, and here they invited us to stay, and we ended up staying with them for a week, and then they were leaving, so they asked if we'd like to stay in their cabin, and so we did.
Mm. Well, before we let you go, what's the thing you miss most about being on the water every day like that?
Oh, well, there's so many things. I still... I still, 15 years later, look at the lake every day and wonder, is this a good paddling day or not? But it's the relationship building. I was never, have never been, and I don't know if we'll ever be as connected with my husband. It was a great way to start a marriage. We were fully immersed in each other as well as the landscape.
Oh, sounds magical. Julie, thank you so much for joining us.
You are so welcome.
That was Julie Buckle. She's the author of Paddling to Winter, A Couple's Wilderness Journey from Lake Superior to the Canadian North.